Money Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Hello again, and welcome to the little get-together we call a show, a podcast, a gathering of minds care about money. It's Minds Over Money radio podcasting stuff. I'm Don McDonald, right in the center of the target of a hurricane. It's not even a hurricane yet, and they're saying we're going to get hit with it. It's not even
it's just
hurricane.
A number. It was just a number a few hours ago. Now it even has a name.
It's got a name now. At least it's got a name. It's Ian, and Ian is coming to visit. Guess who's
unhappily
coming to dinner on Wednesday? Well, I'm Don McDonald. Tom's in the relative safety of the Pacific Northwest until you guys get hit by an earthquake or something. And, hey, we all have our crosses to bear climate and nature-wise, don't we?
True.
Something's going to kill us someday, somehow. But we want to talk about money with you. And we want to talk about all the things you do with it that involve spending it, making it, and growing it. And there are some obsessions we have in the financial industry, and one of America's great obsessions is the idea of home ownership, owning real estate, buying real estate. And, you know, strangely enough, real estate prices pretty much across the country, but particularly in hot markets, soared back before we got inflation. As a matter of fact, those soaring house prices helped bring about a good portion of the inflation we're enjoying or not enjoying.
And now. Yes.
Now, remember, we talked about, you heard it here first a long time ago, when Seattle real estate prices were going way up and everybody said, they can't possibly go back down. I'm just going to wait until they go higher and higher and higher to infinity and beyond. Guess what? The number one declining hot market in America, ladies and gentlemen, is
Seattle?
I'm pointing to you.
Oh, okay. That's my cue.
It's your market. I think you should get to introduce it. If it was Florida, I would introduce it.
Oh, I see. I get to be the bearer of bad news. That's according to Redfin, by the way. They say the Seattle area is cooled faster in recent months, more cooling than any other spot in the country. They, by the way, look at a number of factors, including
prices,
sales, prices, inventory. No, and then how many properties have dropped in price while waiting for a buyer, which I think is very important. They're saying prices have dropped 10% from May to August, which is fairly dramatic. So I took liberty of looking at my house to see what's happened, because got to know how much that's worth, right? Wow. I've lost in the last month $72,459.
Oh, dude.
Which it sounds pretty bad, actually. I'm going to have to call my wife and cancel dinner.
I mean,
that's pretty dramatic.
Wow. Did you look through Redfin or Zillow?
That's Zillow. I don't know how to do Redfin.
You go to redfin.com and type in your address.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
But here we go. This is pretty interesting, actually. So if you're out buying a home now, they're pretty fascinating. The typical mortgage on a $775,000 home would be $3,300. That's what the interest rates were not that long ago, 3%. I think that's like 6 months ago, right? Now, if you go out and try and get a mortgage, it's going to be somewhere around six. So that $3,300 payment has gone to $4,400. So, yeah, you could see how that impacts people trying to buy a home in today's market. And what I read is, everything's freezing up. People are like, well, I don't want to move because I can't go get something at the interest rate of which I had, which is for you and I, it's in the mid twos, I think, right? If we went out to get a new interest rate,
I'm
at 2.62
or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So it'd be crazy to go cash that in for something much higher. You could see that, how that would cool things down. And again, it was out of control. The multiple, I mean, that wasn't that long ago, a few months ago. Multiple offers.
I know.
Whatever much money it takes, I'll do it. So that's that sort of thing generally cannot continue forever, and it is not.
My wife and I were recently talking about that very thing. The fact that we have, I mean, our price apparently has not gone down according to Redfin.
Wow.
We're still at where we were a month or two ago.
That's redfin.com.
Redfin.com. And you type in your address, and look, there's your price.
Oh, okay.
But here's the deal. Because, I mean, we have a ton of equity, but we do have a mortgage. But our mortgage is only $3,000 a month.
Why would you change it?
And we have a garage apartment we could rent for $1,500 a month, which would make
Actually, I'm saving that for you to make sure things work out between the two of
you. Our net $1,500 a month for a 4,000 square foot house. Why would we move?
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry, we can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch, guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
So, what's the moral of our real estate story, Tom?
You know, there the moral, moral always actually. Is there is there is. Okay. Number one, I mean, any house purchase should not be bought with the premise of I'm going to make money quickly,
right?
Because you could get lucky and have bought 5 years ago and sold at the peak in February, whatever. That could happen, but that's unlikely. Number two, this is the other problem I see is people, and it's not so bad today because interest rates are still on a relative basis fairly low. People get in over their heads. We've seen that right here in our neighborhood where the guy went out and borrowed money, more money, gone 2008, had to give the home back. Number three, real estate, home should really be bought for purposes of lifestyle, not for purposes of wealth.
I think that's
a good story. It doesn't have a great return over the long haul. I know everybody thinks it's the biggest purchase I'm ever going to make.
You got to remember, oh, this is the same story with everything we talk about. You've got to remember to consider the source. The source of all the hype about buying a home as an investment comes from whom?
Guess.
Real estate
agents.
Industry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The hype about buying insurance as an investment comes from whom? Insurance agents.
Real estate agents. Come on.
Buying stocks and picking mutual funds comes from stockbrokers.
Yeah.
Or registered reps, as they're called. Or as they call it, like to call themselves, financial advisors. A meaningless term if there ever was one.
Yeah. So I think that's fair.
The whole idea is your house is your home. Your house is your home, period. If you make money on it and you just happen to want to move at that time, congratulations.
Yeah.
That should be as far as it goes. If you
you could do it as a business if you want. You could buy rentals and do all that.
No, but that's different. We're talking about investments.
Yeah.
If you want to open a dry cleaner, okay, buck the trend. If you want to open a food truck, okay, open a food truck. You know, that's a business.
Don't open a food truck. I'm just going
to
say
that
right now.
But they're all businesses. When it comes to investing, if you're going to invest in real estate, invest in it. You invest through a publicly traded real estate investment trust fund.
Yeah.
Or
I think that's fair.
Period.
Or, again, as I said, if you want to be in the business of buying things and operating
them. No, that's a business. Then build a TV repair business. Okay, that's a bad one. You can't do those anymore. Build an iPhone repair business.
Throw them away.
That doesn't work anymore.
A new one.
Become a plumber. That is a great business.
Actually, it is. By the way, because there was a great piece recently that I absolutely love written by our old friend at Dimensional Fund Advisors, talking about how companies appreciate. Which stock do you think did better? This is fascinating to me. Did better between 1990 and I think it's 2020.
Well, since we're talking about plumbing, American Standard?
No. There's only two involved. One was Microsoft, and the other was Ross Clothing.
Oh.
Ross Dress for Success, et cetera.
Ross Dress for Success, yeah.
It's
a trick question. It must be Ross.
Yeah, I know. It is. Yeah, the shares of that company are up 189 times in that period of time. Poor old Microsoft's only up 100 times.
Oh.
I mean, it's fascinating to me. But think that through. If you stood back and said, well, this one's cutting edge technology, software, blah, blah, blah. And this one's, no offense, I've never shopped there, so I don't know what it's like.
Debbie does.
Okay. And so no offense.
But Tom.
Yeah.
To be fair, when was the last time you shopped in a store? In any store. Anywhere.
A long time,
yeah,
my friend.
So let's be fair about
I just bought
this.
A vest online. I don't even go
right,
buy anything.
Right. I mean, yeah, I so bought, I went, I looked at my closet and I went, you know, these t-shirts are getting a little ratty. I went to Eddie Bauer, bought some more t-shirts. I went, you know, I need a couple of button downs. Went to Orvis, bought a couple of shirts. Debbie,
where'd you get the attractive neck thing from?
That's from Amazon, as a matter of fact. Then, of course, what does Debbie have to do? She goes to the Eddie Bauer store to buy clothes. She goes to the store.
She likes that kind of thing. I don't have any interest.
No, she loves trying stuff on.
Yeah, and by the way, if you don't call, I'm going to talk about what I'm going to do this afternoon with my grandson. So
I was going to bring that up later anyway.
I suggest Tom call.
It'll be Tom as Gru and his grandchildren and his little minions all going to the theater going,
I think it's the other way around, but okay. More like I'm the minion. So anyway.
They got you. So don't call.
So yeah.
No, I've got calls.
Talk about that.
I've got calls.
Okay.
These were called in to 855-935-TALK, which is our number, but they were called in when we weren't actually here live taking calls, which we are now, unless, of course, you're listening to the podcast, and then we aren't. And if it gets any more confusing, my head will explode. Now, we have one that came in. Let me make sure the button is properly pushed, because...
Push the button.
I pushed the button. I hit this button.
Yeah, hi. This is Lou calling from Pacific Northwest. I've got a Roth IRA for my wife and I, and we max it out annually, both of us. And I have purchased some stocks in the Roth IRA when it was down in 2020. And so I've got some gains on those, and I was wondering if I can sell them in the Roth and then reinvest it in the Roth. Not quite sure how to do all that, so... And if there's any tax consequences, or if I'm able to even just contribute all of the funds, profits, you know, that I made on it, you know, and still contribute my $7,000 for the year. That's my question. Thanks.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And it's an easy
one. A Roth IRA is money that goes into a retirement account that you've already paid tax on versus a regular individual retirement account or traditional 401k pre-tax. So this is after tax money. You put it in there. You bought stocks. We ran into somebody yesterday who has about 25 stocks in his for reasons I don't understand. And now maybe you've wised up and say, well, I could own a couple of mutual funds or exchange traded funds and be more diversified. Great. Yes, you can go ahead and sell all those and do the right thing. With no tax consequence.
No
Zero.
Tax consequence. Period. Not now, not in the future. None.
Nope.
But it does in no way, shape, or form affect your ability to make future contributions. Gains inside the IRA are just gains inside the IRA. They have nothing. They're totally different from your contributions. So, yes, you can still do the $7,000 and move the money around however you wish without any tax consequence.
I got to ask you a question because this came up at my class a week ago. Yeah.
I wasn't there.
Somebody asked that's why I'm asking you, asked it with your Roth 401k, which are becoming more and more popular, which you said last week, you think young people shouldn't even use the traditional 401k.
No,
it should all go into the
Roth.
Especially if their tax rate is relatively low. Do you have to draw the Roth 401k the same as you would a traditional 401k, draw the money out at age 72?
No, of course not.
Yes. No, you do.
Oh, you do? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking Roth IRA. Yes. Different world. Yeah. Different world. 401ks are a different world. You're
money's
right.
Got to come out.
It's got to come out, but you don't pay taxes on it.
You don't pay any tax on it.
But it's got to start coming out. Yeah, that's right. Because I don't know why. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Me either.
But that's right. IRAs is what I was thinking. There you go.
Yep.
My brain.
Anyway, there you go.
All right, there you
so,
go.
Yeah, don't go ahead. But please, sell the stocks. Buy. We give you a 3-fund portfolio. Our friend Paul Merriman gives you a 10-fund. Pardon me.
20-fund. 30-fund. 40-fund.
Be diversified, man.
855-935-TALK. Why don't you call us while we're here live? But if you don't want to, you can call us when we're not here, 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestory advisors help you save your future at Vestory.com, VESTORY.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
We're here to help make money. makes sense, so you can make more money. On Talking Real Money, I'm Don. That's Tom. 855-935-TALK is our phone number. And Dennis is sitting on the line waiting for us. Hey, Dennis, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, you two great gentlemen. And everyone that's listening, if you're not able to, if you haven't done it, go to the Maiden Bauer when they're in and they have Investory. And I'm sorry to promote it, but it's a great, great company. And you were talking about a home. Well, I got 1.34 acres with a home. So the land's a little more desirable for, we'll say, developers. But it's the investment, whether you make it with when you go to the great, what do you want to call it, advisors to help it. But if you have property.
I thought you were talking about heaven for a minute. I thought
beyond,
the great
you're
advisor
the great beyond.
In the sky.
Sorry.
But no, you two gentlemen, whether it's Florida to Seattle or Seattle to Florida, God love you because you really do give everyone some great information. And Mr. Tom Cock, Mr. Don McDonald, thank you for what you give everyone. I just wanted to say that.
Thank
and,
you.
And, yeah, I got some property, but thank you, both of you gentlemen.
Well, good luck with your property, and thank you very much for
thank
the kind
you.
Words. We
That's
appreciate
nice.
It a great deal.
Yeah, it's an interesting, but that's an interesting point, by the way, having property.
Right, land, that, raw that land.
Land.
Developable land.
Sure, that's a whole different, I wouldn't buy something to develop, but if you own something that could be developed, well, that could certainly be a source of...
A lot of money.
You know, a lot of money, especially mm-hmm. in today's world. We have a brand new client who just sold a couple acres somewhere, and it's... it's developable. It's worth a lot.
Are you
of
selling
money.
Off any of the back 40 there at your place?
I'd like to sell that swamp.
Yeah,
I don't think they'll
anybody
let,
want
I'll
a little
put a
swamp
road in
land.
There. I don't think it's swamp. I haven't been out there in a while. I think the swamp is dried up, my friend. We haven't had rain here in so long. Driest summer, I think they said in history. So
don't worry, it'll be back.
It's coming. I got that to look.
Kind of like when
to.
Oh, we haven't had a hurricane in ages.
Yeah,
don't
well,
worry,
what?
They'll be back.
No water, no power, and less shingles.
That's No. So, okay, here's the deal. You missed the story. In every single hurricane we've had, and we had in 1 year, we had Charlie, Francis, and Jean all cross over our house. The eyes
wow.
went over our house on three hurricanes. We never lost power. Never.
Really?
Lost power. Never.
Is that a Disney legacy thing?
It's because we are one of the few communities with totally underground power.
Yeah.
And we never lost water because of the underground power. That kind of helps keep that pumping. And we lost a shingle because we're inland and the house was built to hurricane standards.
Yeah,
it has
like,
straps.
Straps or
it
something.
It does.
Right?
It
something
literally has
lift up.
The house
That's
has
weird.
Steel straps that go from the concrete foundation up through the walls, over the roof and back down the other side to the concrete foundation. So unless it's a Category 5, and you just don't get a Category 5 this far inland yet. Of course, global warning, who knows? But for now, you will not see me panicking. Matter of fact, maybe I'll just sit here on Wednesday and do live coverage.
Dude, wait a minute.
What?
You couldn't panic if you wanted. With those pills you're on right now, you're like so mellow, it's...
This one, I'm only on a muscle relaxant right now. That's all. Just a muscle.
Really. It doesn't. I gotta get you going on something. Maybe a variable annuity of some kind, or an equity index annuity
oh,
product.
Yeah, you know,
see,
I
get
people
you a
can
rise
sell me
out
anything.
Of you somehow.
It's a matter of fact. I got this invitation right here in front of me.
Yeah.
I do.
I see it.
No, do you see it?
Yeah, I do. I got one of those
says,
in the mail the other day too.
You're invited to this special event for retirees and those soon to retire. Join us for a complimentary meal at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Yay!
But it says down here in the fine print. Must be 55 or older. Agents and advisors are not permitted.
Come on.
Yeah, spoiled sports. They won't let me go get a free steak and an indexed annuity sales pitch.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Hi, welcome back. We talk about... Funny, it's in the name of the show. Real money. And yet, way too often, you guys want to make us talk about unreal money because you keep playing with unreal money things. You keep finding, and it's particularly those of you who are not baby boomers.
Yeah, you boomers.
No, they're not boomers. They're millennials.
That's what I'm saying. You boomers are,
they're Gen Xers.
Sometimes they're kind of logical. I know we get a bad rep.
No. It's not that we're logical.
Place,
we're not. It's not that we're more logical. It's that we've been here longer.
I see. We're just sort of skeptical.
Well, we've seen more stuff than the kids have. And one of our fellow boomers, a boomer, a boomer with bigger name recognition and a whole lot more money than we have.
That's a good point.
A whole lot more money.
Yeah.
He just happens to run a little bank. A little bank called JP Morgan Chase.
Yeah.
Little bank, little brokerage firm. We don't like JP Morgan Chase all that much. Well, I mean, as a bank, I'm sure they're fine. My mom uses them. But we don't like the stockbroker part of it. But that's not the issue here. That's not the issue. Wednesday, the CEO of that there bank, the aforementioned JP Morgan Chase, a guy by the name of Jamie Dimon. Jamie Dimon. Sounds a little mobsterish, doesn't he? Hey, Jamie Dimon. Jamie said to Congress, I, Jamie Dimon. Okay, no, that's not what he said. He said, I'm a major skeptic on crypto tokens like Bitcoin.
Then he added,
they are decentralized Ponzi schemes, and the notion that it's good for anybody is unbelievable.
Well, and he added, it's dangerous. He mentioned, by the way, that people have lost billions of dollars.
Come on, do the voice. Come
on. I can't do the voice.
Come on, do the voice.
I can't do it. I'm
no
actor. I lost billions through hacks. Yeah, you heard of those? Thefts? Fraud? Sure. And then, of course, there's always the money laundering issues associated with sex trafficking. By the way, you want to read up on something that people said was kind of the safe part of all of this. The people holding those for you, right? At Celsius, for example. Imagine you take your money down to your bank and you put it in there and then you wake up one day, want to go get that. And then you go to get that and you find out that, it's no longer there.
Oh, 1929. Very familiar.
Well, it hasn't happened in this country for almost 100 years, even though people still think it's a possibility. I don't. But anyway, that's what happened with... like Celsius, right? It just all of a sudden, no, we don't have the money anymore. And it turned out that they were paying people 17% on their money. Where in the, anyway, don't get me going on
well,
that. But Jamie
Dimon
is exactly right.
Of course, I want to believe. When you tell me I could get 17%, I'm going to suspend disbelief. I'm going to believe you because you said it was true and you wouldn't lie.
No. Not to do that, sure, absolutely. No, come on. So anyway, so Jamie Dimon was, I think, testifying, right, before Congress. Yeah, he was. House Financial Services Committee.
Yeah.
And he used those exact words. Yeah. And he before has called Bitcoin worthless. Mm-hmm. And you pointed out at the top of the show that a nice balanced portfolio of, well, let's just say 30% stocks, 20% bonds, 10% cash, and then everything else in Bitcoin this year. How much has that gone down? Wow. I mean, half, maybe
and
more.
What I find very, very interesting is that now you and I, we really have no vested interest in whether Bitcoin fails or succeeds. We're not short Bitcoin. We're not long Bitcoin.
Nope.
We would never suggest it to anyone because we have not heard the compelling case for Bitcoin or its ilk. We haven't heard it. Give us a compelling case, but people keep calling us and saying, you just don't get it. I don't get
You're
what.
You're old-fashioned.
I don't what get
am I missing?
What. What am I going to use Bitcoin for? Well, in case the global economy collapses. Oh, no. Don't give me that stupid argument again. That one is just ridiculous.
That's but, canned food and ammo.
Yeah. It's very interesting to see somebody like Jamie Dimon, who's a very wealthy man, runs a big bank, saying that this is a Ponzi scheme across the board. Not just the Ponzi schemes are Ponzi schemes, but the whole thing is a Ponzi scheme. And then you hear from crazy Michael Saylor, who,
oh my goodness,
was the CEO of MicroStrategy, a legitimate computing firm. Yeah, he invested every penny of his company's money in crypto. And he did it just before the crash.
And now, how's that working out?
Now, well, what does... So Michael Saylor, he can get some news, particularly from people like MarketWatch. And so what does Michael Saylor say at MarketWatch's Best New Ideas in Money Festival? He says that Bitcoin is about ready to go back to above $65,000 a coin. Now, does he have a vested interest? Think about it. 855-935-TALK is our number. Give us a call, please.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestory advisors help you save your future at Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Yeah, give us a call, 855-935-TALK. I just find this Michael Saylor story fascinating. It should be made into a movie.
How much did he pour into
this is a great story. Michael Saylor started a company called MicroStrategy many years ago, and
I know the company,
It did well for a while, but in 2020, during the pandemic, it wasn't doing as well. And he said he reached a moment of truth, deciding what to do with the company. So what he did was he took all the company's money, borrowed against it, and went to Vegas and put it down on black.
No.
Oh, what? No, the equivalent thereof. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Can you imagine betting your entire company on black? It's like, no. Hey, okay, this is it. One spin. It's either win or lose. And then I still owe on the debt if I lose.
Yeah.
So anyway,
bad times.
He bought Bitcoin with that $4 billion at an average price, $4 billion. $4 billion with a B.
With a B, yeah.
At an average price of $30,000 per coin. Now, he looked like a genius in 2021.
When it was up to
$65,000 a coin.
He
doubled his, more
Why
doubled
didn't
his
he
money.
Sell then?
Oh, no. You don't
Come
sell.
On,
you hodl. You hodl. You hodl and you yodel. You yodel while you're hodling. Hodl. Anyway,
YOLO FOMO,
he hodled. Yeah. He hodled. Yeah. And now his $4 billion investment is worth $2.5 billion.
Jeez. That's wow.
But he's ever confident. I don't know how better times are ahead. He tells the press in hopes that it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Hope is not a strategy.
Okay.
Nor is YOLO, FOMO, or the rest of them.
All those YOLOs. I started to watch a documentary on Netflix or somewhere.
Which one?
It was about the hodling thing and the GameStop.
Not seen that one.
I couldn't watch it because it was apparently made by millennials. So it's lots of flashing things, and I'm going, I can't watch this. Stop. You know, it's a money story, but I couldn't watch it.
I'm watching the one right now about the Italian woman who had the belly cream that then later got into some sort of financial scam. It's on Netflix.
Oh, I've totally missed the
point. Pardon me, belly reduction.
What's the name of it?
It's like...
I can't look it up. I don't know the name.
This stuff always comes up. I think it's because I watch all this stuff. It just comes up on my Netflix feed.
It does.
So it's something relatively new. I think it's her name, which I don't know.
I've been looking for a good documentary, but I tried
no,
that
it's
one
good.
Was terrible.
You'd enjoy it all because she's making something from algae that you rub on your stomach and it reduces the size of your stomach.
Oh, sure. That works.
Gut.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And her point was, wait, I love it on the show. She says, well, if it's a fraud, how come people were buying it for 20 years?
Because people are stupid, ma'am.
I don't want to say.
Like it because when I was in my late teens, I used to manufacture soft cosmetic wax. You know what that is?
No, I don't.
Leg wax.
I have no idea.
Leg wax.
Leg wax.
I used to make leg wax. I was the entire factory for Mr. Michael's soft cosmetic wax.
And how'd that work out?
Oh, my God. That was a miserable job. I literally stood over a kettle, a copper kettle with a big wooden spoon, and I stirred it like the witches from Hamlet or Macbeth. Whichever movie has the witches or the Shakespeare show. Anyway, I'm like, I can't talk because I'm on the muscle things.
Yeah, all right. I'm trying to find the series here, but yeah, go ahead.
All right, find me the show. I might enjoy it.
You
know, I want to see somebody slathering algae on their stomach. I can't think of anything more exciting. All right, John, you're up. Welcome to Talking
Save
Real Money.
Yeah. Hi, John.
Thank you, sir. Okay, my question. You were talking earlier about the 401k and the Roth portion, that when you reach 72, you got to take out the money. So my question is, do you have to take it out of the Roth portion, or can you combine the two totals and take that percentage out that you need to take out and take it all out of the 401k portion?
No, those are two different things. You're going to have to take some out of each one.
Okay.
Some from the pre-tax and some from the post-tax.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Sounds good,
bummer.
But no, can't do it. Bummer. Yeah.
Gosh. Now you're going to be stuck watching some lady slather algae
on
her stomach.
I'm trying to find this series. It's driving me nuts now. I can't find it.
Thanks for the call. 855-935-TALK.
Belly cream or belly something.
Oh, Lord,
or,
this sounds terrible.
Somebody will know. The woman is fascinating.
All right. I'm going to start a call, and then I'm going to look. Okay? You ready?
You'll probably find it before I do.
Hold on. I got to push the button.
Hi. My question is about the 9% Treasury bill bond that I've been hearing about. Is that a 30-year bond? And if so, do I need to wait 30 years before I cash it out? And if I cash it out sooner, do I lose the interest? Is there a penalty? I would prefer that I have the answer both on the air and directly to me at 14.
Oh, no.
Wait, we're not giving your number out.
We don't
do
that. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
And
so
we
you're
don't,
talking
and
about
by the way,
series
just to let you know, we don't call you back with answers. We can't start getting into that. That's really too complicated.
No. Okay. But we'll give it on the, what she's asking about is Series I bonds, which I believe you still have another month to buy at 9.6%, at which time they will reset the rate for the following 6 months.
And it'll still
high. It'll still be high. You correctly point out it is a 30-year bond. You have to keep the bond for at least 5 years to get all of the interest. Should you cash it in earlier, you lose, one quarter's worth of interest if you cash in before the 5 years.
That would be correct, sir.
Can't get it at all, I think, in 1 year or two. I always forget. It's a maximum of $10,000, period.
And I'm telling you, Tom actually hallucinated this television show because it doesn't exist. Tiger,
I can't find it.
Tiger, we have a couple minutes. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hope he knows the show or she knows the show.
All righty. I should probably tell you right off the bat that I don't know anything. Okay.
Welcome to the club. Yeah.
We have about $700,000 in equity in our house right now. And we were in the process of doing a HELOC when the rates started jumping up. And so now the rates are whatever they are, 6.75, 6.5. I'm wondering, this is probably a stupid question, but should I still get the HELOC and should I use some of that money to do some investing? I have a buddy of mine that's my investment now.
No. Wait, whoa. I'm going to step back.
Buddy,
you have a buddy
what?
Who's doing what?
My buddy is my investment guy. So he does all my stocks and everything.
Yeah, what kind of stuff does he put you in? Huh? What?
Okay, remember when I started this conversation and I said, I don't know anything?
Oh, you don't know.
Really, I give it to him. I give it to him and he just does it.
All right, Tom, quick, tell him what to do.
I don't know what to do.
I know what to do. Okay.
Fire your buddy.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's crazy.
One, the first rule of investing is, never hire your buddy unless you totally vet your buddy, and you can't totally vet your buddy because you don't know anything. And that's not a bad thing. Most people don't know anything. No, you should not buy or borrow money at these rates to invest, particularly not on a HELOC, because rates will fluctuate on the HELOC. Three, I'm going to mention this after the break. Let us vet your buddy. It's hard to vet your own buddy because he's a buddy. It's a it should be a business dealing. I'm going to tell you right after the break how to get your buddy best.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
All right, I'm going to try and say this before we run out of the hour. Okay, Tiger, you need to vet your buddy. Vetting buddies is hard because they're buddies. You don't want to upset your buddy. So put the onus on somebody else. Let us vet your buddy. Get hold of a couple of account statements. Go to Vestory.com, scroll down to the bottom of the page, set up an appointment with one of our advisors to look at it, or call 800-386-3004. That's our office number. And ask for Tom. Just ask for Tom. Say, Tom said he would vet my buddy. And he will vet your buddy. We'll help anybody, anytime, anywhere, no cost, no obligation, no sales pitch. Just go to Vestory.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only.
Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time. So please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times.
Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future.
So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring.
Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities.
Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures.
That should keep the lawyers happy.